This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Let's spin it forward to tonight more so. Game four at the Garden. Okay, we all know what happened in game three. We all saw it. We saw the Celtics dominate that game from start to finish. It was awful. The Knicks still have a 2-1 lead tonight. The Knicks still did beat the Celtics. Can't take it away from them. We could poke holes in it. We could say the reasons why, how they got there, maybe a little fortunate in games one and two. But the Knicks still did beat the Celtics, the big, bad, unbeatable Celtics in games one and games two. They can win tonight. It feels like it's going the wrong way. It feels like it's an uphill battle. The reality is the Knicks just have to split these games here at home, win tonight, and you take a commanding 3-1 lead in what is a series. I know we overreact to game one and overreact to game two and now overreact the other way to game three. It's a series. Go win game four tonight. They have some of the horses to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Play some better defense. Maybe Boston's a little cooler from downtown. And go get a win tonight in front of your home fans.
And do it from the outset and give the fans a chance to have influence on the game. That's what was so disappointing this past week. And you know they just wanted to go bonkers, man. And they really couldn't. They tried, but it was like false energy. And then it's not a knock on Knicks fans. It was just nothing to react to. So you can only be, you know, like convince yourself we got a chance here before the reality of the day sets in. I'm down with flipping the energy here because I don't think it's very hard. Now, if it was unrealistic, like completely foreign or just whacked out, then we're getting a little goofy here. Right. Like, what are we doing?
Down 0-3 or something. I mean, they are up 2-1.
They're up 2-1, but the easiest selling point for me is that they've got a couple of players who can do it. And to me, to flip the energy and go from Saturday to a different set of emotions tomorrow, one thing needs to happen. Their two best players need to remember that they're great, or at least one of them's great and the other one's really good. And if you get that, you win. You know, I'd love to see a 40 spot from Jalen tonight. Is it too much to see one full night of consistency from Towns where he's not uninvolved or he's not hammered with fouls early or he's not missing shots or he's not taking threes? Like, how about a nice, tidy, you know, 23-point, 13-rebound, knocking a couple of triples for him and have Brunson go for 41. Too much?
I do think it's I don't know if you need Brunson to score 40. I don't want to put that on him because I do think I'd rather have a better balance. Two things. Number one, if they do decide to start Mitchell Robinson, which I'm not opposed to, I would have Mikal Bridges come off the bench, give you a little bit better energy when he comes off the bench. And you know, a guy who could light it up at any particular point. Also, I want Josh Hart on the floor to start because of the energy. I know why we went over before why you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Two liabilities offensively. I think it's more important to keep the energy with Josh Hart because I think it is imperative that the Knicks start off well. Usually in the NBA, it's like, who cares, first quarter, whatever. But you saw what happened in Game 3. Now, that was an extreme, down 16. I think the Knicks have to give their fans, to your point, belief. They have to show themselves that they can believe and not give the Celtics any more momentum and more confidence that it's going to be another lopsided game. So there are many factors into why I think it's imperative of all games tonight, Game 4 at the Garden, the Knicks have to start out hot.
Yeah, but I got to push back on the Hart Bridges thing.
Okay.
All right, so close your eyes a little bit. Sal's going to be at the game tonight, right? Just imagine, hopefully we don't have to worry about this, but just in case we do. Let's say the Knicks are trailing 19-7.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a bad start.
That's a horrendous start. And Josh Hart checks in or Mikal Bridges checks in? Which of those two men has a better chance of making plays that will now offer an infusion of hope to not only the other four guys on the court, but the other 19,000-plus in the building? And to me, that's clearly Josh Hart. Whether it's getting an offensive rebound, whether it's going coast-to-coast, whether it's making a pick and a steal on D, whether it's getting fouled, whether it's saving a ball from going out of bounds and then, you know, having the Knicks' possession go up court and do something well. I'm not saying that Bridges would have no influence, but to me, the obvious spark, if they're down, is Hart, right, much more over Bridges.
But that's why I'd rather
Bridges
have,
floats.
That's why I'd rather have Hart from the beginning, and then if they get down, then you fire the Bridges bullet and get him into the game, and he's a guy that can light it up. Not
what
with
if he's
energy.
That assertive? Josh is going to be assertive.
That's why I'm starting with that. I want that energy on the floor. I'm not wasting it. What if Bridges comes out and he's starting the game and he misses his first few shots like he always does here?
If he even takes shots to start.
Okay, well, that's my point. So I'd rather exchange one guy in Mitch who's been good when he's been in the game for another guy who hasn't been good early on, have Josh Hart, the motor of this team, starting everything, getting the crowd into it, attacking the rim, whatever, and then going to Mikal Bridges to be the first man off the bench. Now you know that you're going to get that scoring from the bench and a guy who could come in and light it up and take over when he's in, when in theory you give some of the other guys, you know, a rest.
I got you, but I got to look at it two ways. And I think this is what coaches do on that level, I would imagine. They've got one side of the coin. Hey, things start well, we go from here. Things start poorly, boom, we do this.
Right.
Now, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, I don't think that they're going to change anything. I think that they should. I don't think they're going to change the starting five. So just to be fit like that, it's more my opinion than belief of what they'll do.
Right.
But the two,
I'm with you there, too. And if they did, I don't even know what they do. You think they are going to bench Bridges? Like I said, I would. Let's say that they do.
Okay, this is where I'm going to give you both sides of the coin. Okay. Like, again, if I start a lineup with Mitchell Robinson and obviously Towns, and then obviously Josh Hart, and of course, we know who else is out there, Cat and Brunson. Now, and again, this is a pretty basic thing, but I've got 40% of my starting five who are basically non-shooting threats. That is untenable for me. Not against a team that could shoot the lights out and could score 125 if you let them get hot. So that's the one aspect. Now, in the event of, still under the equation of starting Mitch, but also getting off to a rough start, now I've got to factor in, okay, who gives me the best option of possibly willing us back from a bad start? And that's the situation I gave you before. Checking into the game, Josh Hart. Like, he walks in, Knicks are down 19-6, 21-10. I understand that, but he hasn't been able to shoot since he got here, and he still had major influence as much almost as anybody, maybe outside of Jalen Brunson, on the entire team. So I'm looking to change things up, but I'm also looking to have a back pocket answer in case it doesn't go well. And for me, the better option is Hart coming into the game if they're down big.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I would probably make that change. Again, I don't think it's going to be the be-all, end-all. I would go Mitchell Robinson and Bridges off the bench. I just like that structure better, especially because I want that energy right out of the get-go. Regardless of what they do, it is imperative that they start well tonight in Game 4 and give back some of that belief and hope. It can't be the way that it's felt from the majority, where going into the series, I don't know, after Game 1 and Game 2, we're winning it all. After Game 3, we're dead. There's got to be some kind of balance here, and the Knicks still have a great shot to win this series. It's got to get started the right way, at home tonight. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Milton is in Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, I'm real quick, I want to agree with BT. I've always said this team to win a championship is the day that Hart is coming off the bench. That's for down the road. If they figure out how to make him the sixth man, that's when we are going to win a championship. As for right now, I'm a little confused with both of you. Because BT, you've been negative all year. Then you have no shot. Everybody picked Boston in 4 or 5. Nobody gives them a shot because they are playing the champions. They are playing a better team. We are the underdogs. We found a way to scathe 2 wins by, let's say it, luck. Okay? And then all of a sudden you're talking about, like, we're going to play the Pacers. We're going to win the series. We got to keep the course. We are the underdogs. What happened yesterday? I mean, when they lost at home?
Yeah.
Are you surprised? No.
Yeah, but hold on. Hold on, buddy. I got you. But it's a little bit of a mischaracterization on your part about how you're playing up this little teeny tiny underdog role. The Knicks had The Knicks had the third shortest NBA title odds before the start of the season.
Listen,
it's a fact.
We're talking about this series. They're major underdogs.
I'm talking about this group, though. Okay, it's the same group that was thought to have a real chance to win.
You're talking about the Celtics who've been together forever. These guys know how to play. They know how to win together. And they only won last year because they played everybody with injuries. Let's stop giving them so much credit.
What's your other issue, Milton?
My issue is that we keep jumping from they're going to not win. You guys keep saying they are going to win. I want you guys to tell us what you really feel instead of going back and forth after every victory.
What are you talking about? I've told you from the beginning. My mind has not changed once in this series. Not once.
Sal, I got it right here for you.
Yeah.
Did you not just say on the radio that after winning 2 games, they have to win this series or else it's a failure? Did you not say that?
Yes, I did. I said up 2 games to none, you cannot lose that series.
Sal, but if they lose this series in 7 games, they gave the champions a battle. This, you have to keep the course. The course is that this team is actually not ready until they play more than one season together, until they get a better bench. Now, if we win this series, yes, we will be happy. We're all rooting for the win.
Milton,
you cannot turn it around and say it's a must. Saying that it's a must win.
Milton, that's obvious that if they win the series, we'll all be happy. Up 2 games to none, it or not, the expectations change.
Why?
Milton, it's a reality. What's next year guaranteed?
Sal, but you just said they won by 20. It was luck. They went down 20 the whole game.
Milton, you got to listen for a second. My belief of what's going to happen is irrelevant when the realistic numbers tell you, or the stats tell you, or the series tells you, they are up 2 games to none. I never believed, we had this conversation, I didn't believe coming in the Knicks would win the series, but I thought the gap was closer than many people thought. I never believed after game one the Knicks were winning the series. I didn't believe it after game two. However,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Forget what I believe for a second. They were up two games to none. When you are up two games to none in a playoff series, coming home for game three and game four, it would be a disaster to lose that series. I don't care what anybody thought. Prior, afterward, what the odds makers say, you're up 2-0 coming home, and you are in. Milton, I don't know what you're talking about, but they're in their championship window now. There is no next year or the year after. You have no idea what that's going to bring. Right now, up two games to none coming home, you got to win that series.
See, I look at it this way, Sal. When you get stops, and I said this to you on Friday because you did ask me the direct question of was it more the Knicks winning those games in crazy style or the Celtics maybe right. Give it away, whatever terminology you use. And I said, well, I certainly get the question, but when you make stops, consistent stops, and you make consistent buckets on the road in the fourth quarter, it's not all luck. There's an element of execution for sure that I've got to acknowledge, right? However, there's also traces of luck that clearly put you in a position to do that. And when you're such an underdog coming into the series and you get some of that luck residue and you don't capitalize, it's unforgivable.
Yeah, Milton, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Like, we all know the Knicks were significant underdogs coming in. But things change when you're up 2-0. It's not just, oh, well, we weren't supposed to win the series anyway, so what? They took them to 7 games. No. No, not at all. This is why we did the show on Friday, saying that this might be the Knicks' best chance, period. We might be looking back on this 3, 4, 5 years, 2 years down the road saying, God, they had them. They had them up 2 games to none coming home. You got to figure out a way to win it. You got to win 2 more games out of the remaining 5. You got to do it. If you can't beat them 2 out of 5, how are you going to beat them 4 out of 7 moving forward? Like, and especially at home, having home court advantage. All that the Celtics worked for in the regular season, the Knicks stole it from them in the first 2 games. The Knicks, unfortunately, may not be in a better position ever than they were either on Friday or even today because they're still in the driver's seat.
This notion that the Knicks have, 3, 4 years to kick their feet back, yeah, we'll get there eventually. I think that is an incredibly foolish, short-sighted, and dangerous way to view what I believe to be a lot smaller window than many of you. And I've said that. I don't want to beat that too bloody pulp. But, guys, you got to understand. Number one, the Knicks have been very healthy this year. I know the ankle twist with Brunson. I get that Mitchell, of course, early on the ankle. But, there's no torn ACLs. There's no ruptured Achilles.
And they're healthy now, right. They're healthy for the playoffs, which is all that matters.
Yep. Hey, last year the Knicks were unlucky with injuries. OG's hamstring. Julius Randle's shoulder. Obviously, Mitchell went down with a dirty play with Embiid. Jalen Brunson was jacked up. Like, you just don't know what the future holds. None of us do with anything, especially with sports. So that's number one. Number two, Mitchell Robinson, you talk about if you think that I'm wrong, which is fine, fundamentally wrong with what I just said, what I just presented about the length of the window here, then I would say, guys, all right, we like Mitch. He's been here 7 years. And his weaknesses haven't even remote. Matter of fact, they're getting worse. I mean, is he ever going to change who he is? The answer is no. They still don't have a bench. Now, yeah, you could get a piece this summer that will change the perception of the bench. I get that, and they will. But now, hey, Mikal Bridges' contract is up. He's making $24, $25 million after next year. You got to pay him. And then once you do that, now that starts to cut into the other things that you could do. So the window is now. Doesn't mean that it can't be next year as well,
right.
But it doesn't guarantee that it will be. You're up 2-0 at home if you lose. Colossal fail.
Yeah, also, Milton, it doesn't mean that we're going to rip the Knicks to shreds if they lose the series. We'll see how it plays out here. We understand what the Knicks are going up against, but you got an opportunity. You better take advantage of that. They have a golden opportunity in front of them. They haven't given it away yet. They got to win tonight. Gavin is calling from Woodbridge. What's up, Gavin?
Hey, Gav.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What's going on, buddy? What you got?
Sal, I want to harp on what you said maybe a little while ago. Mm-hmm. I want to remind all Knicks fans that if someone told us a month ago that we, on May 12th, would be up 2-1 and playing Game 4 at home versus Boston, we would all say, where do we sign? There's a ton of negatives that we can take from last game, but it's done. We need to burn the tape from Saturday. We have an opportunity to go up 3-1. We're still in great shape. My message is to any of the listeners going to tonight's game, I think we need to bring the energy, make sure the Garden is as hostile as possible, and send these Celtics home, you know, with their tail between their legs.
Hey, look, the Knicks,
that's all I want.
Thank you. Thank you, Gavin. Good call. The Knicks fan, you don't have to worry about the Knicks fan. The Knicks fan is going to do their job tonight in the building. That's been the one constant forever. We know that. So I wouldn't worry about the crowd not being into it or not believing. They'll be into it. The question is, will the player... There's multiple questions. Will the Knicks be ready? How are they going to start? Are the Knicks good enough to compete with the Celtics? Bottom line, are the Knicks at their best good enough to compete with the Celtics? And by the way, part of the thought, I'm sure that you had, BT, and part of the belief that Knicks fans had was that the Celtics aren't at their best. Hounds around, Brown maybe compromised, Porzingis. Like, that plays a factor. The Knicks could be taking advantage of a team that's vulnerable right now.
Yep.
Now, they didn't look vulnerable in Game 3, but they might be more vulnerable than we've seen them. They're the reigning champs. They're going to be tough to beat. And if they're vulnerable and you're already up 2 games to none, you got to take advantage of that.
And something else is going on, by the way, and you and I were talking about this during the breaks out, that very well might, you know, reshape next season. Giannis said he's open to moving. So, you know, we can sit here and say, again, the Knicks have this, and they've got that, and they've got a little bit of this, and they got enough of that, and they're going to be here 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it might be. Well, that could be true. It could also be nowhere close to being true. And, we're just thinking Celtics, Cavaliers went healthy, Pacers a little. But, like, what if Giannis goes to a young, up-and-coming Pistons team? If Giannis is on this Pistons team that the Knicks just beat in round one and they're actually gelling, and now you have Cade Cunningham with some experience, I don't know that the Knicks get out of round. Matter of fact, I don't think that they win the series. If he goes to a young Magic team this summer, which he might, he could also go to the Nets. I'm not as worried about the Nets next year. But these younger teams with these cores already in place, I mean, he's still 29, 30. He's still absolutely in his prime. Still a great player. So the other teams will do other things to complicate the Knicks' world next year. It's not just about, well, get past the Celtics, get past the Cavs, and it's easy. Things change every year in the NBA.
Right, the point is the landscape could change completely, which is why when you're in the window now and you have a 2-game lead returning home, you have to take advantage of it. More of your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. You know, we were just talking about this, and it was a little bit of a topic over the weekend, BT. You're backing out of the Met-Yankee game on Friday night because of potential Game 6.
And thrilled I did it.
Yeah, and you are out. And Mitch, I was talking to Mitchell in Fort Lee who came through with the tickets. He's got front row. He's got season tickets, front row, right field, which is the spot that you want to be Friday night if you are going to go. And he was telling me he actually invited C-Mac as well because there was going to be 6 of us going. Mitchell, his buddy Steve, whose season tickets it is, then me, you, Hoff, and C-Mac, and I think that was it. So C-Mac... today, he's like, I can't give you a yes. I'm like, well, Mitchell needs to know because the game is Friday.
Yeah.
And if not, he's going to sell them. You know he could sell those tickets for like $1,000 apiece?
Mitch can.
Yeah. That's because the Soto, because of the location, right field, and he's looking at $1,000 apiece.
Comparable to the Knicks playoff.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Knicks playoff game 6 would be even more than that. But
yeah, but they're already at 1,000 now. Yeah, that's nuts.
He said, I don't have the, you know, I can't back it up. But Mitch is telling me, and I do trust Mitch, that he got offered $1,000. I'm like, all right, well, hold off because we got to see. I want, you know, we got to see if we can replace BT. He's out. But now the T-Mac's out. Now we have two. And I heard through the grapevine that maybe Tiki and Marash might be interested.
Okay.
Now, would you? You wouldn't care at all. You don't care at all.
No.
All right.
Meaning who would go possibly?
It could be me, Hov, Tiki, Marash. No, yeah,
four guys who aren't watching Knicks Celtics. Have fun. And the other two guys, too.
Well, I mean, the Knicks could win in five. You left.
They could. I had to make that decision. Yeah. Listen, I had to commit one way or the other. Yeah. I couldn't put Mitch in a tough spot.
Mitch is allowing you to come back in if you'd like.
Yeah. No, I know. That's very, very generous. Yeah. No, I am doing Knicks on Friday night. Now, Marash is a Yankee guy. That works out well.
Yeah.
Teague's a Yankee. Kind of a Yankee fan. You know, listen, he's told you how he's gotten to his Yankee fandom. Like, you know, Met CC, like he's like diehard like us. But I'd rather him than, another Met fan there. So there you go.
I get the love for the Knicks, but
I don't think you do. Since you just used the word but.
But
then you don't get the love for the Knicks.
No, this is historic.
More historical for you. No, it definitely is.
I think it's historical in New York sports. What will be remembered more is Soto's return to Yankee Stadium after leaving the Yankees to sign with the Mets, something nobody's ever done before, and throw on the little fact that I'm talking about, right? Like, if you tell me any other seat in the house, I'd be with you.
The location changes.
That was the whole selling point. I wouldn't even consider going if not.
That's also a subjective interpretation. If the Knicks win Friday night and it's game six and they go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, I can promise you what I'm going to remember more. It's going to be the Knicks.
Yeah, but getting to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Soto was here 1 year. Now I get the magnitude of going to the Mets. Understood.
Mets, Yankees.
But it's almost incomplete. Listen, Mets, Yankees is fun. I like interleague.
Soto,
I've always embraced
it. Game. By the way, do we know who's pitching? Do we have the matchup for that off? Can you look that up? I have not looked that far ahead. Who is scheduled to pitch Friday for the Mets, Yankees? Because that could be fun and seeing Soto can maybe do some damage.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I mean, I think that it's going to be really raucous when he first gets introduced. But generally, things like this are overhyped and then underdelivered.
Right.
Like, I know it's going to be roughly a three-hour game. I mean, the first time Soto comes to bat is the real pop. To me, when he first goes to right field and first gets up. Now, if he goes deep or if he whiffs or pops up with two on and two out in the eighth, I mean,
that's still somebody's in the game. Like, the floor is still.
Floor's higher than usual than the Yankees, A's, in Seattle. Understood. And but Knicks playoffs penthouse.
If this were Eastern Conference Finals.
Don't matter. Could be.
Would you
could
say
be a clincher.
Everything's TBD right
still
now.
TBD. Yeah, but if we did the math, who's pitching tonight for the Mets? Is it Holmes tonight?
No, Holmes pitching Wednesday.
Is it Senga tonight against
Peterson?
Skeens?
Peterson today, Senga tomorrow, Holmes on Wednesday.
Peterson, Senga, Holmes, so it wouldn't be those guys.
Right.
Look at it. Griffin Canning pitched yesterday, so it would be normal rest Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. And then for the Yankees, I'm more intrigued. I don't care really who's pitching for the Mets. I care more who's pitching for the Yankees because of the matchup.
Who's pitching tonight for the Yankees?
It was Rodon yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Yankees have a TBD tonight?
Well, Yarborough.
Yarborough went yesterday.
Went yesterday, Rodon.
I have TBD today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Why is that?
I don't know.
I'm on the Yankee site. They should know, right?
They should.
Yeah.
Unless you're just playing coy.
Anyway, Hoff, real quick, lastly, before we get back to the calls here on the tickets, 888-808-1019. If Tiki comes, because there's six seats, BT.
Yep.
Four front row, two second row.
Oh.
You and I are going to be sitting in the front row. But now since you're on Hoff gets pushed to the front
row. He goes to the front.
If Tiki comes, then Hoff would probably be bumped to the second row.
Why do you say that?
Oh, because he's Tiki Barber.
Yeah, no, but Mitch gets bumped to the back.
They are Mitch's tickets.
Mitch will go to the back.
Well, I think Mitch wanted to do a little rotation plan.
That's
the symbolism of it.
Well, I wouldn't be there. I'm not going to make it, so somebody could sit in the front row. I'm not going to be able to be there until probably a little bit later.
But I'm saying you guys could rotate all you want, but it's that first symbolic who starts the first inning in the first row. Hoff, would that bother you if it's Tiki?
And then
nothing bothers me ever.
My point is, would you want Tiki and Marash to go, knowing that it may impact you being a row behind us?
No, it's fine.
Getting bumped for Tiki, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to be behind you. I think Mitch will take care of me.
If Tiki's behind Hoff, Tiki won't see a pitch of the game. So maybe from strategic purposes, we got to put Hoff behind everybody because he's a monster.
Either way, Hoff is not missing the game. He's actually got the overnight that night where he normally does his Friday into Saturday morning. That's a huge show.
Whoa, whoa. He's on the air that night?
Yeah. Huge show.
2 a.m., baby.
Right?
Let's go. And we're going to be hitting up our spot afterwards, too. I'll be multitasking. I'll be having my phone watching Game 6 while we're at the Met Yankee game.
Okay, well, I got a question for you here. All right, so you're on from 2 to... I'm sorry, 2 to...
2 to 6.
All right, 2 to 6. Okay, so you, all right, 2 to 6.
2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Saturday morning, Friday night and Saturday morning.
It's a great spot. Great. I mean, there's a lot going on. You have a lot of juice, a lot of fun that night. Calls will be absolutely popping. Well, I'm excited for you, but... let's go to the first call tonight. This is Hoff. I'm going to pretend I'm Hoff. Mike in style. Mike, it's Hoff. What's going on? Yeah, Hoff, what did you think of that sequence in the second quarter when Carl Anthony Towns got a little tangled up with, you know, Horford?
I can stop you right there. Well, like, we don't get those
how
type
are you
of...
watching the Knicks?
I'm going to stop you right there. Not one person will call with that intellectual question at 2 o'clock.
Are you saying
the
overnight's dumber?
No, but no one's breaking down the game like that anymore.
Is people, that true, Sal? You've done overnights for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think you get into the weeds.
Yeah,
like
you're
that.
Not getting what you're playoff game. What you're going to get is I can't believe Mikal Bridges missed that three with 20 seconds to go, and we'll focus on that.
By the way, if it's been that dumbed down, I don't think it's like you have to watch the game at all. Just know if they won or lost.
The point is, you do have to. It's a tricky balance. You gonna have to be able to watch that Knicks game and watch the Met Yankee game and get a feel for it, and then do the show afterward. But Hoff is going to the game. He says he's gonna be able to go to the game and do both.
No, he's absolutely committed to this. There's no question.
Just watch me. I'm a trooper, man. I know.
Yeah,
well,
no, we don't doubt that you're gonna show up and be ready. But every single break, he's like, "No, I'm going, no matter what."
Let me just tell you good I am at he's multitasking. Ready. I've done giant post games while doing Rico Bronya podcast at the same time.
Well, that's because the Giants stink, and there's not a whole lot of highlights cut up.
I have to be in there recording audio from the Giants speaking and asking them questions while doing a Rico Bronya podcast. Kiss my butt.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Frankie is in Bay Ridge. Talk about those Knicks. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you?
What's up, dude?
Not much. First of all, before I get to my point, definitely Josh Hart off the bench. I mean, if you guys remember last year, the energy he brought off the bench, you know, playing with that second unit, Deuce is off. Maybe he needs a little Josh Hart with him coming off the bench.
That's interesting. He played well the first game. He had three triples, but he's been pretty quiet since. And he's taken a step back this year. There's no way around it.
Yeah. Hey, he got his little contract. Yeah, it was a great contract, but off, but whatever. Let me get to my point. My point is like desperation, you're saying, Sal. And Sal said desperation, it's human nature. Human nature. What? Okay, and then BT, you kind of agree with it, but I know you really want to disagree.
What are you talking about? Go ahead.
You said the Knicks didn't come out with that desperation backed against the wall. What have the Knicks proven not to come out with that desperation? You know, what? And I don't believe
I'm confused. It's Saturday, they didn't prove it.
I don't know where you... Frankie, what is your point
I'm confused, Frankie.
Your point is, Sal, you said it's human nature. Mm-hmm. Go back and ask.
No, they said that.
No. I know what you said. Yes, I said it is human nature that if you are up two games to none, you're not playing with the urgency that the Celtics were, who were down 0-2.
How are you not playing with urgency? How?
It's human nature, Frankie. Don't you explain that to you?
How
it works?
Human nature.
Yeah. Human nature is if the Knicks lose, they still are in a good spot.
If you're good, you're good. Yeah. If you're good, you're good. You're coming out playing hard. If you're coming out playing hard, you're coming out playing hard.
Well, Frankie, I'm going to meet you a little bit here. I'm going to meet you a little bit here. Thanks,
Frankie doesn't understand the point, clearly.
Well, he doesn't, but I don't think the point applies to everybody. So there are many, and I don't mean like a 1-8 matchup where the team was up 2-0.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It comes into Game 3 and they win. There are certain teams who are just much more locked in, much more focused, a little mentally tougher, maybe a little more physically resilient. Now, my reservations about this group was that I thought last year's team had some more of those characteristics, and I know that those players are gone, although Randall's playing great, and good for him. But I didn't think, because I didn't see it enough this year, that the Knicks had another level or two to go to in that resilience department. And I think Saturday, it proved at least for a day to be right. Now, if they're going to be dogs that we hope that they could be, they come out and they are on fire from the outset tonight. Does anybody absolutely expect that? I'm hopeful. Do we expect it? I don't know. The human nature thing, again, in a broad thought, it sounds good. You're desperate. The other team's desperate. They're going to play harder.
It's a fact.
It's not. But you can't prove that. It's not a fact. It's not provable. It sounds good on a Hallmark card. It's not a fact, Sal, because there's been a lot of teams, Sal, who have been in the exact opposite position, but who have more mental and they come out and they do the job and they don't exhale to the point where they allow the other team's urgency to you don't always lose when you're up 2 games to none.
Nobody said you don't. What I'm saying is a fact that the Celtics needed that game more than the Knicks did.
I agree with that, but that doesn't mean that they're gonna...
But that's it. That's the end.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play better.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I got you.
All I'm saying is, factually, teams who have gone down 0-3 haven't won in the NBA. That's a fact. Fact would say that the team that is down 0-2 has a deeper sense of urgency based on the facts of the surrounding situations, meaning if they lose the game, they are now down 0-3. That's what I'm talking about. Now, it doesn't excuse the Knicks. You would think that every playoff game you should come out with some urgency. Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and others said, quote, "We did not come out with the same sense of urgency that was needed that the Celtics had because they were down." Those are, like, I didn't say that. They did. All I was saying was you could understand to a certain extent the human nature part of things. When you're up 2-0, there just isn't that sense of urgency that is there when you're down 0-2. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with it.
Yep.
I'm saying it's a fact. Now, does it mean that you're always going to win when you're down
0-2? That's what I thought you were saying.
No. Obviously not.
Well, except if you're down 3-0.
Yeah, well,
you can still win game 4. You're not coming back to win the series, as history dictates. So, all right, I think it's more, to me, a Knick thing than a Celtic thing.
because there's no doubt when you're a champion, you've proven that you answer that bell, that you're resilient. I mean, it's not like, you know, they won every single game last year and route to a championship by 20-something points. There were moments of inflection for that team where they had to dig down deep and find out what their mental prowess was and how together they were. I think it's a greater criticism, a far stronger and worrisome indictment that the Knicks were so reluctant or unable or both to infringe upon the Celtics' clear motivation to change the way the series is going.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knew that the Celtics, they would come out different, like they would be wired differently. The fact that the Knicks came out wired the way they were, that's the bigger problem.
See,
to me. That's unacceptable.
And I don't even think that that was the case. Like, the caller
just
said,
they got pushed around from the get-go. They weren't ready to play. The Knicks.
The caller just said, if you're good, you're good. I don't think the Knicks are as good as the Celtics. And I think it's easy to say, well, they didn't have as much urgency. And maybe that's the excuse from Brunson and Hart. I don't think that's the reality. I just think the Knicks got destroyed by a team who at their A game is far better than the Knicks. If the Knicks don't say that it was because of urgency, then what? Then what's the excuse? The only other thing that you could say if you don't say it's urgency,
we're not good enough. Which pro athlete's never going to say. But don't you think, like, if I'm and I heard this driving in, I'm like, we got to play this, which is really, yeah, we did that last hour. So if I'm a pro athlete, I'm sitting on the stool, I'm getting interviewed by everybody. I don't know. I would be embarrassed, quite frankly. I would almost find a way to make something up than to look at the camera and say, and we just think we got to play with more urgency. We got to play with more physicality. Those are their words, not ours. I mean, we know how they look, so we're able to piece it together. I would do anything in my power to avoid admitting that, because that is an embarrassing thing to admit. You are playing to win a championship. So we can worry about the Knicks' level of talent, which most of us believe was short of a championship this year. If we got to start worrying about their focus and their heart, well, then it's a wrap. But I thought this was positive hour.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't help the callers. I'm trying to be positive.
What the hell happened? I was trying to get back on the rails
here. I still have hope for tonight. I mean, it doesn't seem like that from the callers. You know, over the weekend, BT, we mentioned the Yankees a little bit before. We didn't mention the Mets. My biggest takeaway from this weekend was the emergence of Brett Beatty. Even though that was the one game that they lost, Mets take 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. Any silly narrative about the quality of opponent, I mean, that should go by the wayside here. You could beat who you could play. The Mets swept the Phillies. They now took 2 out of 3 from the red-hot Cubs. So I'm not worried about the caliber of opponent. The Mets aren't good enough. But Beatty with the 2 big home runs Saturday, the emergence of Beatty is perfect. After being sent down again, coming back up, and now taking advantage of what might be his final opportunity, Winker out, DH spot available to move Vientos at DH, play Beatty at third, who I think is better defensively than Vientos. I really do think that Beatty can be an impact bat difference maker, similar, maybe not to the extent of Vientos, but similar to what Vientos did a year ago.
Beatty was a guy a couple years ago, young player, young prospect, who I loved. And then he just, you know, got a couple chances and it didn't work out. I'm like, all right, I mean, how often am I going to go to the well defending this young player as somebody that I think is going to be a plus hitter at this level, while acknowledging probably not an elite third baseman, though I'm with you, better than Vientos. You know, if he was taking reps at second base at the major league level, he can at least be slightly more than adequate at third base. I think he's fine. But I think what we've learned about Brett Beatty here, Sal, is that he's very resilient. And, you know, kind of like Vientos a year ago, wouldn't it be odd if Vientos, I don't want this to necessarily happen, but like if Vientos has a year that is less than we thought, and the player that we wrote off, much like a lot of people wrote off Vientos last year, this year's version of Vientos becomes Brett Beatty. Because, you know, when you get sent down, you have 2 options. You either sulk or you mash and you force your way back. And he mashes. He always does that in Syracuse. Now he's come back. It's actually carrying over here. It's great to see.
I love guys that go through adversity and come out the other end of it. It's why I wasn't quick to bury Beatty, where a lot of people, first of all, the Mets were winning, and it wasn't a significant thing with Beatty. I just wanted to see him get his run. But because of what Vientos did last year, and I didn't think there was any chance he would be that type of player based on everything that they told us, based on the limited spots that we saw him in. But once I doubted Vientos and he came back to do what he did a year ago, I was not going to do it again with Brett Beatty, even though I didn't believe he was going to be an impactful player. Now, and again, the jury is still out, but to see him now start to turn the corner a little bit after handling more adversity, to your point, going back down, coming back up, I don't think he goes back down again. Now, does that mean that he's going to stick with the Mets forever. Who knows? I mean, maybe there's a trade that make the pieces fit better. I don't know. But there's a need with the Mets, with Winker being out and Beatty being at third base and Vientos at DH makes them a better lineup. So I'd love to see this from Beatty. I love the fact that he's been impactful here, and he seems to have a different type of confidence here this go-round. Maybe finally it will. Now, Vientos is starting to hit the ball better, too, and look a little bit like last year. But if you ever could get them both in that lineup, Beatty at the bottom of the order, lefty bat like that, with that pop, I think the Mets are an extremely dangerous. Yeah, exactly.
Nice balance. He's definitely mentally tougher than I think all of us thought. I mean, it's very easy to look at him when he first came up and say, wow, look at that beautiful lefty swing. Who did he hit? I remember referencing this, but Hoff, you might remember from the Rico stuff. I remember, and it wasn't even on a home run. It was like, might have been his first series. He hit a ground ball to shortstop off of the lefty. And was it Freed? Strider? 109 miles an hour. And I'm like, ooh. And I just remember saying, like, wow, a young lefty hanging in there against a lefty. It just jumped to me. And I'm like, I like this kid. And then I followed him, and I'm like, I knew he was a top prospect. And it didn't necessarily translate. The one thing that he's got to improve, and if he doesn't, he's never going to be really good. He's got to command the strike zone better. Like, he's walked only three times this year. He struck out 21 or 22. Like, it's just completely, you know, top heavy with a lot of strikeouts and not nearly enough walks. Now, I don't really care if he strikes out a lot, and I don't need him to be a walk machine like Soto or some others, but what that tells me is that he's falling behind early to major league level, and he can't command the count in his favor, which all good hitters do, because when he makes contact on a pitch that he can hit, he can square it up.
Yeah, and he's hitting the ball hard. He's got some pop, which is what you love to see from Brett Beatty. All right, back to the Knicks. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Dan is on Long Island. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up, Dan?
I just want to touch the Knicks. Something that drives me nuts is when Cat or somebody goes up for a layup and, you know, it's a questionable call. He doesn't get the call. The guy sits on his behind, like with his hands in the air, screaming at the refs. And they're giving the Celtics 5-on-4s, like time after time after time. Again, it goes to what you guys are saying. You have to understand this isn't like a Tuesday in December. This is the playoffs. You got to get back on defense, especially against the Celtics.
You do.
I'm just curious if you guys notice that or what you think.
Yeah, I think that's applicable here. I don't think the Knicks attacked the rim with the aggression that's required to dethrone defending champions. You got to earn the whistle, man. And one of the things that's bothered me about Karl-Anthony Towns, but not just him, you know, even Brunson, and he has to do this because of his body type and his lack of athleticism, like he's more finesse and, you know, spins and angles. We talk about that all the time. I feel like Karl-Anthony Towns goes to the rim and he's anticipating getting hit. I'm not saying that they haven't missed a few calls on him. They have. But I don't feel like he's looking to hurt somebody. I don't see intention. Like, when Karl-Anthony Towns really does take it to the rim, I'm just not seeing the intention that I'm seeing from other aggressive players in the NBA. And that bothers me. And the refs know it. His opponents know it. And everybody knows it, which is why he's got this, quote-unquote, soft-ish label that's kind of followed him for almost a decade at this point, because it's like he double palms. He thinks he's a small forward. Just try to rip the rim off the backboard.
I would rather have a more polished offensive game. Now, he's an elite offensive big, especially in today's NBA, but I'd rather have a more polished offensive game as opposed to me, it seems like too many times he's out of control looking for the whistle instead of drawing the foul. Make your move, be a bigger, tougher opponent. They are going to foul you. Not just come up there and flail and throw, like, you, and then complain. Because to the caller's point, and now you know me, I love Cat, but, I mean, come on, the bitching to the refs is incessant. Stop. You're on the floor always, oh, my God, I got fouled. Whether you did or didn't, it's being called a certain way. And I feel like the Knicks, and Cat specifically here, but the Knicks sometimes too, are just looking for the whistle as opposed to making their offensive moves and letting the whistle come. And that's preventing them maybe from getting back down. They're complaining about it. It's not a clean offensive performance from the Knicks.
But that's been an issue of mine for a while with the Knicks.
I
really think he's good, of course, and I respect it, but I think they take that cue, though, from Tom Thibodeau. I mean, Tom's always chirping, always whining.
Let him do it, though. That's what the coach should do.
Yeah, true, but I think that they see it so often that in their minds it's a license for them to do the same thing, just incessantly whining. We love Josh Hart, but he does it all the time. Towns does it. Brunson does it. Brunson hitting the deck. And we love these guys, but they just play more finesse. And I know that the game's changed. Clearly, we're not going back to the 90s. Nobody's looking to here. But the thing that is obvious to me, doesn't mean he can't thrive. It doesn't mean he's not highly skilled. Karl Anthony Towns is uncomfortable with contact. And all you have to do is watch him one time try to set up in the post, and by a smaller man, immediately, 7-8 feet later, he's by the three-point line. Like, you're 285. Act like it, dude. Just stick your ass in somebody's chest and bury him. I mean, you don't have... Who are some of the big, thick bigs back in the day? Like
Oliver Miller.
Yeah, that's a good pull right there. You know, but even like Smits, who was tall, and those big centers. Like, I get it. It's easier said than done. But you got Jason Tatum sometimes. You got Al Horford, you know, who's obviously a respected vet. But you are so much bigger and stronger. But they flourish with contact, and he tries to avoid it. And that's when it shows itself up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.